But do you see this woman? Let's talk about this woman for just a minute. She'd been disabled for 18 years. She'd been disabled where she couldn't straighten up. Do you see what disabled her? Was the spirit of infirmity, spirit of disability, that had her in bondage to the point where she couldn't stand up straight. So I say that to tell you that I don't know a whole lot about spirits, but I know there are several out there. I know there are several. But I know the good one. I know the Holy Spirit. I know that He's good and true. He's my comforter. He leads me into truth, doesn't He? He does the same for you. Know that spirit. Be well acquainted with that spirit. Listen to that spirit. Follow Him. Because He's not going to put you in bondage. He's the very essence of freedom, isn't He? Of truth. Of healing. Love.
You know, the interesting thing about this is if you get a little insight into some sicknesses and some ailments are demonic. Now, I don't believe that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the devil occupy the same space, you understand? So if a person is born again, I don't believe you're going to be possessed by a devil in your spirit, but I believe you can be attacked in your physical body, just like this woman's attacked in her physical body, bowed over to the point, if she can't stand up straight for 18 years. And Jesus said Satan had bound her. So that's pretty clear as to what her problem was. And so I'll loose you from your infirmity. Now, an interesting thing here is how indignant the leader of the synagogue was. Religion had rather have you bound than to break their regulations. Isn't that an amazing thing? You would think that if a person was set free, if a person's healed or something miraculous has occurred, that the church would applaud it. But, you know, just in the last week, I've been looking at some things, and it's amazing to me how many ministers are bashing the manifestations of the Spirit, the things of God, and saying, you know, these things were done away with the apostles. You can't give me one scripture that would support that. There's not one scripture in the Bible. That is nothing more than some denominational speculation because they're not operating with the power of God. You don't believe in it, you won't operate with it. You with me? And so here's the guy, the leader. We'd call him the pastor today, wouldn't we? So the pastor is rebuking Jesus for casting the devil off of this woman. Still going on today. You understand? A daughter of Abraham, the seed of Abraham in covenant. Let's get this woman set free. The devil comes to church. The most faithful. He doesn't miss a service. You understand? And so he sometimes will just be very blatant in your face with people. Now here's what you must realize. When you're dealing with a demon, you're dealing with a demon, not the person. And so often you can lose sight and you can focus on the person, and that's not what it's about. The person's a victim. Now, with that said, when you minister to someone that is under some kind of satanic bondage or possession or whatever, you can't rub the devil out of them. You hear me? I've been in so many services. You can't love the devil out of them. You cast the devil out of them. You talk to the spirit, not the person. You talk to the spirit. You notice these accounts that Heather's been reading, Jesus is not talking to the person. He's talking to the spirits. The spirits are talking to him. You understand? And so when we're dealing with these things, just realize the person's a victim. So I've heard people criticize, you know, people that have been under the bondage of the devil, and people want to talk about the person. The person's a victim. They're being victimized. Do you really care about the person? If you care about the person, get your eyes off the person and then go to the one that you have authority over and loose the person. You follow me? Remember, you're dealing with a spirit, not a physical body. You're dealing with a spirit. Okay? It's just important to know these things. And don't play games with the devil. I was listening to a guy, a very well-known preacher. And this is his own tape. Had tapes back then. And this woman is brought up who's demon possessed. And he said something to the effect of, you come out of her. And the demon spoke in a deep bass voice. This is coming out of a woman. And he says, I'm not coming out, I'm going to kill her. And then the preacher said, I dare you. Don't you ever toy with the devil. You say, shut up and come out. This is not a drama. It's not to get attention. It's to set some captive free. And always remember, it's not a show. And I'll tell you, I get aggravated. You know, people, you encounter this, and it's like a three-ring circus. Everybody's wanting to see what's going on. Well, why don't you get on your face and pray? This is not for entertainment. You're not casting the devil out of somebody for entertainment. It's far more serious than that. And then I can tell you this: don't just go looking for demons. You understand? Jesus didn't go looking for demons, but he encountered demons. And when he encountered them, he dealt with them. And that's what we have to do. We don't go out looking for them, go on some witch hunt or what, all this type of stuff. But when you encounter them, don't be afraid of the devil. He's defeated. Amen. The Spirit of God inside you, greater as he is in us than he's in the world. We've been given authority. We've been given a mandate. Don't back down from it. But here again, don't be arrogant about it. And don't think you're going to cast him out with physical strength. A friend of mine got thrown across the room by a little 105-pound woman, demon-possessed. No, you don't play with this. This is not something to toy with. This is serious stuff. Are you with me? Just know who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ and know who Jesus is in you. And you're not going to fear the devil. I've seen people jump up and run out of the church before because a demon manifested. Afraid of the devil. It's amazing how many Christians are afraid of the devil. You know, you have more fear of the devil than you have of God. Something's wrong with this picture. Do you understand? Okay, go ahead.
You have more fear of the devil because you listen to the lies. And if you don't realize where the lies are coming from, you're easily deceived. Well, we know who he is. He's the father of lies.
Like, I'm not coming out. He doesn't have a choice. But you don't stand there and argue with it. Oh, yes, you are. No, shut up. Come out. We'll see this here in just a minute in the study. Jesus didn't play games. And we're not to either.
He didn't, because he didn't allow the demons to continue talking. They weren't permitted. You know, I think about this, and I'll be real honest with you. I've not experienced anything like this before. But I have an understanding of what authority is. I mean, I can take it into the natural realm, and I can think about just authority with my own children. I can say to my own kids, I'm taking your voice. You may not speak anymore. Period. And they don't speak. Because they know the one who has the authority. And they have a real clear understanding of what's going to happen if they do. So you see, I keep going back to this, and I suppose I keep going back to this for my own benefit here. But we have to understand our own authority. We're not going to understand our own authority unless we know the one that's given it to us. Right, and it's real important for us to pay very close attention to how Jesus operated, how he handled situations, so we know how to handle situations. So when we look, let's flip over to Mark chapter 3, and let's look at verses 11 and 12. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, those possessed fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he would strongly warn them not to make him known. Essentially, he said, "Don't talk. That's enough." Now you can read, if you flip over to Luke chapter 4, verse 40 and 41. When the sun was setting, all those who had anyone sick with various diseases brought them to him. And as he laid hands on each one of them, he would heal them. Also demons were coming out of many, shouting and saying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. Do you see there the authority? Well, there's a lesson in that. You can look at this in a lot of different ways. But why are you going to engage in conversation with the devil? Why do you want to go there? Now, Jesus had a different reason here. But nevertheless, you take authority.
You know, I'm just thinking how if that happens today, people, so many people today like the recognition. You know, I know you're the man of God. Come on. So let's let the devil keep talking. If you know who you are, you don't need anybody advertising you. You know who you are. Jesus knew who he was, and he sure didn't need the devil being his voice or advertising who he was, just like the woman with the spirit of divination following Paul for many days. When he got his direction, he turned around and commanded the spirit to come out. You don't need the devil, you know, praising you. You don't need anybody praising you, but you certainly don't need the devil praising you. And you keep these things in perspective. No, you're not there to engage in conversation. You're there to undo the work of the devil in a person's life. And this is what Jesus did. He didn't allow them to continue talking. Now, they're real nice about it. Hold your peace. Be quiet. I just say shut up.
Now, we've read an account of this, that Jesus was accused of casting out devils through the power of Satan. Just the logic in that, I can't follow it. But let's look at that. Let's go to Mark chapter 3, verse 22 through 30. The scribes who had come down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub in him, and he drives out demons by the ruler of the demons." So he, being Jesus, summoned them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rebels against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but it is finished. On the other hand, no one can enter a strong man's house and rob his possessions unless first he ties up the strong man. Then he will rob his house. I assure you, people will be forgiven for all sins and whatever blasphemes they may blaspheme. Now this is real important. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Now, the scribes here were accusing Jesus of being ruled by Beelzebub to drive out the demons, which is interesting to say the least. And Jesus, of course, corrects him on it. But do you see the power, the authority that Jesus had to operate was coming from the Holy Spirit, right? So they were in danger. In essence, they were saying, whoever is driving out these spirits is Beelzebub. Well, we know who was driving out the spirits. You've got to be real careful with that, don't you? We have to be real careful. This is a lesson for us, too. If we don't understand something that's going on, or we see something, we have to be real careful about what we say so that we don't blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, because we know flat out He tells us that's a sin. That's you'll never have forgiveness. Well, never's a really big word with very few letters.
You know, really what's going on here is you understand that everything Jesus did, He did by the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus now with the Holy Spirit and power to went about doing good. So, He is casting out the devil by the same Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Okay? And so they're attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. Now, blasphemy is really defamatory remark, slander, this type thing. And so this is exactly what they're doing. They're slandering the Holy Spirit. Do you call it the Holy Spirit, the devil? And I'm going to tell you, I've seen a lot of things here in my lifetime in ministry where people walking on dangerous ground talking about the things of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit, and things of this nature, and attributing that to the devil. How many times have you heard tongues of the devil? You ever heard it? I've heard it often. You don't even know what you're saying. A person that makes a statement like that doesn't even know what they're saying. They're going to come against the Holy Spirit. You can laugh at me. You can slander me. You can get by with it. You can even laugh at Jesus and slander Jesus and get by with it. But He says there is no forgiveness for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, not in this life, nor in the life to come. There's no forgiveness for that. And you'd better be cautious what you say about things you don't understand. Know that you know. I understand supernatural includes the realm that the devil lives in as well as the realm of God. But when you start talking about the supernatural, you better know what you're talking about. And you better not be attributing the work of God to the work of the devil. Because actually it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what's going on here. Now, with that in mind, if you operate in the power of God, don't be surprised if people say things like that about you. Jesus said, if they did it in a grain tree, what will they do in a dry? The servant's not greater than his master. You understand? And you can't feel sorry for yourself and get ready to quit the ministry because somebody has said some bad things about you. I've had things said about me that, and I'll be fair with you, it made me want to quit. As a matter of fact, I said I won't lay hands on nobody else because something was said about that, the devil, this type thing. So thank God we got a wake-up call and changed our mind on that. And then I just realized that people speak out of ignorance, just out of total ignorance. They don't know what they're talking about. They take a scripture out of context, or they fabricate things and say that, just like this is done away with, the gifts of the Spirit, the tongues, the apostles and prophets are no longer today. Where is that in Scripture that you get that? It's not there. is absolutely is not there. As a matter of fact, I can take you to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and show you the very opposite of that, that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are here until we all grow up to the full measure of the stature of Jesus, till we all come into the unity of faith. That's how long that fivefold ministry is here, and that fivefold ministry will operate in gifts of the Spirit. You understand? And so, it's here. If you think you've grown up to the stature, the full measure of the stature of Christ, you're one more deceived person. And if you think that the church of Jesus Christ has all come into the unity of faith, you're one more deceived person. And so, this is still going on. The Spirit of God just as real as it ever was. You know, Acts didn't end. The Acts, some people say of the apostle, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working through the apostles. Those acts haven't stopped. They're still going on today. Well, I don't believe it. It's because you've never experienced it. You've never experienced it because you don't believe. But I have experienced it, and I know it's real. Just as real as it's ever been. Watch what you say about the Holy Spirit. Watch what you say about the Holy Spirit. Are you in danger of blasphemy? So, Jesus was anointed to set captives free, wasn't he? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do what? Setting captives free, right? You're preaching deliverance to the captives. Well, his ministry is still going on today. And so, how do we set captives free? Well, there's a couple ways of doing this. Number one, if they're bound by the devil, you command the devil to leave them alone. And you can set that captive free, okay? And the other way is the people is, you know, oppression, depression, and all these type things, or just ignorance of the Word of God. They don't know what God has done for them, what Jesus Christ has done for them. Then you teach them. You teach, you proclaim. As a matter of fact, he said, preach deliverance to the captives and recover his sight to the blind. Preach it. Proclaim it. And I'm going to tell you right now, for people who listen to you, you'd be surprised at how many of them will come out of bondage simply by hearing the Word. As a matter of fact, Psalm 107, verse 20 says he sent his Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. We just need to start paying attention to the Word of God. And I'm talking about the written Word of God. Don't go by what somebody else told you. Get in there and read it for yourself and be so simple-minded. Be like a child when you approach the Word of God. That God said it, and I don't need a doctor of theology to interpret it for me. God said it, so I'm just going to believe what God said. And if there's something there that you're not understanding, just ask the Lord to show it to you. You know, I can't tell you how many times I just said, you know, I know the Holy Spirit inspired this. And I'm asking you, Father, to inspire me to understand it. You inspired them to write it. I'm asking for revelation because I don't understand what you're saying to me. It's amazing how he'll give you revelation. And then after he gives you the revelation, you think, why didn't I see that? It's simple. It's simple. But he's here to set the captives free. And that's what... that's what we're to do, to carry on this ministry. As a matter of fact, you look at 1 John 3:8, and many of you probably quote it, you know, talking about how God anointed, talking about for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might do what? Destroy. Actually, if you look at that word destroy up in the Greek, it means to loosen or to undo. And so, the whole purpose of Jesus being manifested was to undo the works of the devil. What the devil had done, undo. Well, that's what we're talking about when a person is delivered from demonic activity. the devil did it, you're undoing it. When a person is, the gospel's preached to a person is bound by sin. That person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What are you doing? You're undoing the work of the devil. You're giving them the truth. To where they have the truth, they don't have to follow a lie. They have the truth. Are you with me? And so, just as Jesus went around and did the work of the devil, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, what did he do? He went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed to the devil. What's he doing? He's undoing the work that the devil's done. What are we to do? As the body of Christ, we're to undo the work that the devil's done. And the biggest thing is deception and lies. Like, that stuff's not real anymore. And one of the biggest lies is performance-based salvation. Adding something to the redemptive work of Jesus. That's a lie. It's a deception. And how many people are bound by it and wear themselves out just hoping they do enough good deeds that God will give them favor. The bottom line is, if Jesus doesn't have the favor of God, you'll never get it. He does. He did the work. It's finished. We identify with it. Because of our identity with what Jesus has done, we'll do works of righteousness, but we already have the righteousness, so we're not pursuing it. And so many people are blind to this. Satan has them bound by religion. Trying to do this, trying to do this, trying to do this, trying to do this. Only believe. Only believe. If you just believe in the finished work of redemption, and then get this message out to people. This is how we get captives set free. This is how we undo the works of the devil. We do it just the same way Jesus did. This is why it's so important to study the ministry of Jesus. So how do you deal with the devil? The same way Jesus dealt with the devil. What did he do? He demanded the demons to loose the people or to set the people free whom they had bound. You understand? Or in many occasions, Jesus just commanded the demons to leave. Leave. Come out. So what are we to do? Same thing. Don't add anything to it. Nothing needs to be added to it. If it worked for Jesus, and we're representing Jesus, we're operating with the same Holy Spirit, it worked for us if we believe it. So you don't add to, you don't take away, you just follow the pattern of Jesus. Jesus was never intimidated by the devil. Neither should we be. And he makes all kinds of threats. But understand, he's roaring, a roaring lion. What's the purpose of the lion's roar? It's to intimidate you. It's to scare you. So he goes about trying to scare people. Perfect love casts out fear. If you know who God is and the love God has for you, and if you have a reciprocal love for God, then Satan can't cause you to be afraid. You understand? You can stand in this face with no fear because of the perfect love on the inside of you. And then we have to tell people this. God loves you. The devil hates you. Why are you listening to the devil? Over the years, I've had people to tell me, on different occasions, you know, the devil's been talking to me all week. I said, why are you listening to it? Why in the world don't you let God talk to you? You want the devil to stop talking to you? Pick up the Word of God. Start reading the Word of God. Let the Word of God talk to you. Quit listening for voices and all this other demonic stuff that religion will so often embed into people. Get your mind on the Lord. And the way you do that is predominantly right here with the Scriptures. And then just talk to the Lord. Love the Lord. Tell the Lord how much you love Him. Tell the Lord, thank you for loving me. You know, I think it was last night. I felt like I didn't sleep at all. I just, it was like I was talking to the Lord all night. Just, I was thinking about where God had brought me from. And just thanking God from the time I was a small child and the various things. And I was a rascal, you understand? But God protected me. He never gave up on me. And always, God loved me out of those things. His goodness led me to repentance. You understand? Get your mind on how good God's been to you, and you won't think about all the raw deals you're getting. You just realize you're doing a lot better than you deserve. Amen? Well, time's up, so we'll stop there.
Thank you.
You have anything else? Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you that you bless us.